Life insurers, here's your lifeboat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, the Treasury Department is adding yet another category of troubled firms to the Troubled Asset Relief Program. That's the initial $700 billion bailout package passed last fall to rescue banks and AIG. Now it'll include companies that offer life insurance. From New York, here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Life insurers have been asking for a government bailout for months. They're not getting nearly as much as the banks, reportedly $22 billion split among six companies, among them Hartford Financial, Prudential, and Allstate. Insurers, like everyone else with so much cash on hand, invested in stocks and bonds that plummeted in value, and some companies insured against market losses. As capital dwindled, there was concern about ratings downgrades and inevitably a run on individual insurance companies. That could have a cascading effect throughout the economy and freeze credit further. For example, life insurers own 18% of corporate bonds, which are a critical source of cash to U.S. companies, large and small. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Investors doing a little buying. Yesterday, the Dow was up a percent, half a percent, I should say, to close at 83.31. NASDAQ and S&P shares gained between 1 and 2%. Today, Asian shares did the same, but Panasonic joins Sony and Sanyo in the Misery Electronics Show. It lost $4 billion last fiscal year. European markets are higher right now. That's despite the latest report that the economy in the Eurozone shrank by 2.5% in the first quarter of the year. Lots of consumers taking hits with their credit cards. The U.S. Senate takes up a reform package again today, and a lot of changes are on the table there. Here's Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith.
At the grocery store near my office, you have to spend at least $5 to pay with a credit or debit card. That's because merchants pay the bank a fee every time you use plastic. It's usually about 2% of your purchase. A lot of stores just build that cost into prices, so you pay it even if you use cash. Craig Sherman is with the National Retail Federation.
Retailers have always wanted to be able to discount for customers who pay cash, but Visa and MasterCard rules make it virtually impossible to do that.
An amendment to the credit card reform bill, now making its way through Congress, would let retailers give discounts for cash. Trish Wexler is with the Electronic Payments Coalition. It represents banks and credit card companies.
This amendment would remove all sort of enforcement on how merchants advertise their cash discount.
Wexler says retailers could advertise the cash price and then hit shoppers using credit cards with a higher price at the register. Shoppers pay about $48 billion a year in interchange fees. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Rod Blagojevich is charged with trying to sell President Obama's vacant Senate seat. But Delta Laboratories is hoping its new hair care products will win over even the fiercest opponent of the ousted Illinois governor. They're marketing the shampoo and conditioner Blago. It's bleepin' golden. It's a knockoff on a line the governor allegedly used when describing the opportunities for selling the said Senate seat.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
This week, we've been looking to the future with the Marketplace series, The Next American Dream. The United States has always been a nation of immigrants, but who will continue to seek opportunity here? Historically, more people have come from Latin America to this country, but that could be changing with stricter border enforcement and fewer jobs. Princeton sociology professor Douglas Massey joins us this morning and says there are consequences to all of this. First off, Professor Massey, good morning. What has immigration from Latin America meant to the U.S. economy over the years?
Well, it's been the major source of low-wage labor in the United States. It has played a leading role in sustaining the economic boom of the 1990s. As the boom of the 1990s developed, we hit record levels of low unemployment rates that economists said before couldn't be achieved without causing inflation. And yet by the late 1990s, we had rates of 4% or so. And we would have reached bottlenecks with labor shortages had it not been for immigration and immigrants coming into the country.
But you don't think that if there is a shortage of jobs that people will say, you know, that more Americans and not immigrants will say, okay, well, I'm getting a little desperate here. I don't mind changing the bedpans or going out and picking tomatoes or something like that.
Well, in the short term, that may be true. But in the longer term, I think we'll return to a situation where those jobs will either be filled by immigrants or they will disappear or move overseas. Every developed country has now become a country of immigration, and it's built into the economic structure of post-industrial societies, and it's built into the demography of post-industrial societies.
Let's talk a little bit about the fallout that we're dealing with right now and the fact that the economy is in its worst shape than it has been in 70 years in many cases. You know, how does immigration affect that? Where do we see immigration going and how does it play into sort of reviving the economy of today and from now on?
Well, in the short term, immigration is part and parcel of the dynamics of the economy. And so when the economy goes sour, immigration slows down. And that's exactly what we're observing. And if the economic slump continues, you'll see that trend continue. When the economy revives and jobs are created, you'll see a response in our immigration flows. The key for us is to figure out ways to manage this and handle these flows legally in ways that protect American workers and protect the rights of the immigrants themselves.
Professor Douglas Massey, a professor of sociology at Princeton, specializes in immigration. We thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Check out our Next American Dream section inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.